You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Sacramento State is closing a chapter in pivotal leadership. When Robert Nelson came to the university as president back in 2015, Sac State was struggling. The four-year graduation rate was at the bottom of Cal State's 23 campuses, only behind Los Angeles. And the image of Sac State was that of a commuter school. But that has changed considerably since President Nelson's 8 years with the Hornet family. Sac State's four-year graduation rate has turned a very successful page, a 187% increase, which is the largest within the CSU system. And there's a list of other accomplishments in President Nelson's time, from a brand new STEM building with a planetarium, student housing, and compassionate leadership when it comes to equity. Not to mention the rise of Hornet sports with unprecedented seasons from football to women's basketball. Well, President Nelson will be retiring next month, but he took the short walk on campus to our Insight studio for a reflective and heartfelt Hornet goodbye. President Nelson, thank you for making the time. It's kind of a last hurrah here on Insight.
Well, I can't think of a better last hurrah than to be on Insight.
Yeah, we share the Sac State campus, so you definitely knew how to get here. I remember the first time I saw you speak, and it was when I first became a reporter in Sacramento. It was during the fall address. And what really struck me about you was how openly you cared. I think you even shed a tear or two. And as I've learned over the years, and seeing you in action, it became very apparent that that wasn't a one-off, that you openly and consistently wear your heart on your sleeve, especially when talking about students. Where does that come from?
I don't really know where it comes from. It didn't happen until I went to the Rio Grande Valley and became president there, saw the poverty, saw what the students were going through, and they pierced my heart. And I haven't been able to stop crying since. I think about their lives and what they're trying to accomplish. I think what they've overcome, and I see their future, and I cry.
Yeah, you're talking about what was then UT Pan American when you were president, and it's now UTRGV. You and I have a connection because I was anchor and producer in McAllen, Texas, while you were president at that university, you know, more than a decade ago. And it's really difficult to describe a border community without calling them home. This is South Texas, right on the U.S.-Mexico border, the very, very tip of Texas. Were there similarities between the University of Texas, particularly the Rio Grande Valley, and Sac State?
Well, I deliberately chose Sac State. We have what is called CAMP, the College Assistance Migrant Program. It's the second oldest program in the United States. It's been around for over 47 years, probably 50 now. It's a marvelous program. We have 37% of our students are Latinx. We have a very diverse student body. And I wanted some place with that diversity, that richness, that ability to make a difference and make a change.
This was a really big shift for you because you spent, I believe, close to 3 decades with the University of Texas system, and then you just decided to start a new chapter and head west.
It was a complete change, but it was a good change, okay? Because everyone wants another chance to be able to make a difference. I knew I had one presidency left in me. I promised Jody that I would do 5 years. She said 5 years was all, but she gave me 3 one-year extensions, and it was each one of those extensions was just marvelous because each year we saw more and more students graduate. We went from 7,300 students graduating to this last time, 9,457 students, more students than we actually accepted graduated from this university this year.
Yeah, that's like more than a third of an increase, you know, from the 7,000 plus that you started with. I also learned that you're the first person in your family to go to college, and you not only got an undergraduate, you took it all the way to a doctorate, a PhD. I thought that the field that you studied was University of Chicago's Committee on Social Thought. It sounded a bit obscure to me. What attracted you to this field?
Well, it wasn't a field, okay? Social Thought is a program where they park all of their Nobel Prize laureates, all of their Pulitzer Prize winners, all of those type of people, so that they have a home. You don't have regular classes. You read whatever the faculty member happens to be reading, and you read it in their original language. So I had a great opportunity to be able to sit down next to some brilliant people, read a book, and talk it through and think about it.
Did you always know that you wanted to be part of higher education or even education?
No, I dropped out. I may have been the first to go to college, but my younger brother beat me out of college, okay, because I had a son, and I decided that I needed to take care of him. I'd grown up in a family where you took care of your kids, and so I dropped out, came from Utah to Pasadena, opened up a bunch of Western clothing stores here, lasted about a year in the malls. Jody told me that I was boring. I hadn't read a book in a year. She said, we're going back to college and you're going to finish or else I'm not going to be with you anymore. And I wasn't willing to leave her or Seth. So we went back to college.
When you say Pasadena, was it Pasadena here in California?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm from Eagle Rock. So that's just, we're neighboring areas. When you came to Sacramento State, and you touched upon this with how the graduation rate has improved. I mean, the university at that time had some of the lowest graduation rates. It was largely known as a commuter school. That has really become a 180 in the 8 years that you've been here. Sac State is now at the top of the Cal State system when it comes to graduation rates. And you were able to accomplish this in less than a decade. But share, really, at the inception of all of this, what was going through your mind when walking into this? What attracted you to taking on these pretty big inherited issues?
Well, like I said, I had one presidency left in me. I wanted to make a difference. I'd made a difference in the Rio Grande. I wanted that chance to be able to make a difference here. Our graduation rate sucked, and I said that publicly, and I got printed all over the place, 8%. That was just horrific. That meant so many students were going into debt, and so many students were not finishing at all. At that point, we were only graduating about 7,000 students instead of the 9,000 that were graduating here. It wasn't a hard turnaround. The students weren't getting the classes they needed. All you got to do is give them enough classes, and if they can take the classes, they can graduate on time. And so we gave them the classes. We began the Finish in 4 campaign. We promised them that they could graduate in 4 years if they wanted to and if they needed to. All in all, in the last 5 years, we've saved our students, and this number is going to sound almost crazy, okay, but $440 million in debt that they would have had taken if they would have gone 6 years instead of 4 years.
Wow. I mean, we don't have to litigate the past, but the fact that this happened under your tenure, you're the eighth university president. I mean, it has to be a little harder than you're painting it out to just adding more classes. Can you take us behind the scenes a little bit? Help us visualize what goes on when you're asking for increased investments in the university. I would imagine it's more than a simple ask. You have to create excitement, you have to create trust, and you have to make people, stakeholders, believe where the university can go.
Well, the first thing I had to do was convince the faculty that our students could make it, that they could succeed. And there was a general feeling that the students couldn't, that they weren't ready, that they came from families that had been in poverty or came from schools that were not preparing them, and that they really couldn't do it. We had to change that mentality. We had to get rid of the developmental courses. That was wasting a year of the students' lives, okay, right from the start. Here they come, and we say, oh, you're really not good enough for college, okay? We changed that mindset, and we started talking about Finish in 4, Through in 2 for our transfer students, really believing in them. The math is easy, okay? If you take 5 classes, that's 15 credits. 15 plus 15 equals 30, times 4 equals 120. Even an arch humanity guy can figure out that if you take 5 classes every semester, you can graduate in 4 years.
Hmm. Oh, I want you to toot your horn a little bit because this all happened under your leadership. What did you bring to the table that was different, that really changed the course for the university?
I think the sign of a leader is influence. It is to be an influencer. You don't lead by doing something heroic and taking someone. You influence people to do something. I have had great teams here. My provost, my vice president for student affairs, my university advancement vice president, every one of them have been remarkable, okay? And if you influence them to move in a direction, they will go and you can be beside them. The other side is you've got to be a little disgusted, okay? You can't be satisfied. You've got to say, well, that's not good enough, okay? And when you put the influence with that bit of, well, that's not good enough, then you can get something done.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Sac State President Robert Nelson, who will be retiring in July after 8 years leading the university. So we're going to make plenty of time for achievements and strides. But since you became president in 2015 and take a look back, what have been some of the most trying moments for you?
COVID. No one signed up for COVID. You didn't sign up for COVID here in the studio, okay? None of us expected that. To pivot and to go online out of nowhere, that has been one of the most difficult experiences in my life. But our faculty, they were the real heroes. They overnight, I said in the middle of the week, we're shutting down, folks. We can't do this anymore. There are too many people getting ill. We've got to go online. And they did it. And they did a darn good job of it. I'm so proud of them. I'm so amazed at what they could do. Nobody even knew what Zoom was.
I know. Okay? That's so true. I think my first interview, anything related to COVID-19 was like on Skype, and that went away very quickly. So yeah, Zoom is here.
It's here and it's here to stay. So I think that was probably the biggest difficulty. And we've had our budget difficulties. We went through a 12% budget cut. That meant that we had to rethink a lot of what we were doing and had to find economies of scale. Right now, we're going through a 5% cut because of where the budget is in the state. You know, we didn't get the revenues that we thought we were going to have. But we're going to succeed, and as long as you keep your eye on the students, as long as they're your North Star, as long as you realize you're doing it for them, it is for them. It isn't for us. It isn't for a paycheck. It isn't even for the sake of knowledge. It's for transforming their lives.
Your role as president, I mean, it extends beyond academics and even fiscal challenges because you also compassionately insert yourself into social issues. I mean, these big challenging moments that don't necessarily happen on campus. They happen outside of Sac State, even across the country. But you address them in a way because you know that it's on our collective minds, especially the collective minds of students. Do you see a direct connection in how this relates to education?
Stephon Clark was huge for Sac State. George Floyd was huge for Sac State. It changed who we were. It made us think differently. It made us act differently with each other. It brought out the racism that is at Sac State, the racism that is in this city, the racism that is in our country. And it allowed us to go and fight that racism directly head on. And I think we've made a lot of progress. We have a 240-plus page anti-racism plan at this point. We've got an anti-bias tool where we're looking at our biases and fighting them to be better. So that matters. Homelessness. Now, 12% of my students are homeless. They're sleeping in cars or they're couch surfing from one place to another. We have to address that directly. That's why we have the rapid response housing for our students. Another 40% of them are actively using the food pantry. And the food pantry is real, and our students need it. And they need food that they want, that is the food that they grew up eating. If you're not healthy, if you're hungry, how are you going to take a test? You're not.
Yeah. A centerpiece of all of this is also mental health. Has focusing on mental health always been a part of your leadership? Because there's been a long stigma attached to mental health. Was there a learning curve for you, as there has been for a lot of us?
Well, Vicki, you know that I lost my son to suicide. He was 25 years old. He struggled, and I saw the difficulty he had with mental health. He graduated from college. We thought he'd done all right. We thought he'd overcome it. You don't overcome it. You struggle, and you work with it, and you learn to cope, and you get better and you get stronger, but it's still there. So mental health has meant a lot to me. When Jody and I came here, we began with the Out of the Darkness walk. We brought NAMI on campus. We've worked with the peer health educators. We've increased the number of counselors that we've got. And we've actually put the counselors in places where they're needed. Do you know that in engineering, where you've got to go learn calculus, that's where a lot of the worst difficulties are, because it's so hard.
A lot of pressure.
And in the Dreamers Resource Center, where we have our DACA students who are living every day with not knowing what their future is going to be, they need help. So do our athletes. So we've made sure that we've had the counseling available, but we've also worked very hard to be a caring campus. So it isn't just the counselors that matter. It's every one of us. Every one of us has a duty, a responsibility. I had a wonderful, wonderful student body president who, when I gave one of the fall addresses afterwards and I talked about our diversity, she said to me, "We may be the fourth most diverse university west of the Mississippi, but we're not the fourth most caring university." And that ushered in a whole new way of thinking for everyone at Sac State. Are we caring? Do we create an environment where people feel like they belong? What are the obstacles? Let's get rid of them.
Yeah, I mean that student body president was like a sledgehammer in the very best way to make the university better. Given that your son Seth, when he took his own life, he was 25 years old. This is around the same age as college students. Was there ever a time for you and your wife Jody where you considered doing something else because it just was too close to the heart?
No, because it was too close to the heart. I don't think we could have done anything different. Jody was the vice president for business affairs at two universities. I was a president at two universities. Even if I wasn't the president, I was going to be in the classroom helping students, being there for them.
Jody is obviously an important piece in your career, not only, of course, in your life. She's really been by your side through all of this. What role has she played in how you approach your work and how you do your job?
She's my best friend. I remember when I first went into the administration, she was vice president at that point. And the president said, "I'm really worried about the pillow talk at the Nelson House." Because we share everything. No one has been able to surprise me with any budget They can't hide the money from me. Jody will tell me where it is and will tell me what to do with it. So I've been very lucky.
That's an ace in your pocket.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to some exciting times during your tenure. And we really don't even have to go that far into the past. We can even just look at the last year or two, from Sac State football to women's basketball, the new science complex, of course, with the planetarium. I've been there. It is so cool. What gives you the most pride?
The most pride is every student that graduates, okay? It's not the buildings. Yeah, that was a heck of a football team, and it's going to be a heck of a football team this year, and that tradition's going to go on, and they're going to continue to win, and to see 23,000 people in that stadium, that gives you real Hornet pride, but it's really the students walking across the stage. We've got an art sculpture lab that is going to be built and is opening up where Santa Clara Hall is. We've now got two gifts for $20 million, and we've saved up $14 million, and there's going to be a new engineering building that will rival the Shannon's complex. And guess who came up with the money? Ernest Shannon. Okay. Here's a man who came here. And this is why we need immigration reform. He came here from Switzerland. He learned how to flip apartment buildings. He made a lot of money. And he has said, and he's 93 years old, before he dies, he wants to give every dollar he made in America back to America.
I was there for the groundbreaking when it was just, you know, like the shovel in the dirt. And then it's been wonderful to see it come full circle and put a bow on it. It's a beautiful complex and a planetarium that's not just for students, but it's for the community as well. And tickets are free. It's wonderful for children. When we're turning this tide with you retiring, we're going to be welcoming another president, and that is J. Luke Wood. We had him on Insight recently, introducing him and getting to know him. He is quite active in academia as well. Was he on your radar in like recent years? What can you say about him?
Luke Wood, President Wood, is going to be phenomenal. I've known him for about 5-6 years, okay? Just less than 2 years ago, we invited him on campus to be able to speak to a conference of young men of color. We wanted them to see someone like him, a role model, someone that has been successful, a foster youth, okay? Foster youth from Reading who ends up in Sacramento, who ends up getting a PhD from Arizona State. A young man who's already written 16 books. He's a role model. He is going to be a great leader, and he has a really good heart. I've seen him tear up.
The tears will continue. And I should mention he's also an alumnus of Sac State, so it is a homecoming for him. And when you talk about that food pantry that is in so much need for students, I mean, he would have been a beneficiary of that if it existed during that time. I don't think it did, because he said he went in between meals as well. I mean, he was a foster youth that went to college, understands the financial struggles, understands experiencing homelessness, overcame all of that, as you mentioned, with a very accomplished career, and is now giving it back as a homecoming of sorts to Sac State.
It really is a payback, and he knows it, and his heart is in the right place. He will take us to even greater heights. He's bold. He knows what it means to have it difficult, but he also knows what the sweet taste of success is, and he's going to spread that taste for everyone.
When you're on campus, you have a few weeks left. Are there special places you've created and stand out?
I love being in the student union. I love being there with all of the students. I go over to the information desk every time I'm there and talk to those people because they're talking to everybody. The Dreamers Resource Center is especially important to me, and the Cernas Center. We haven't done it in a while since COVID, but I used to go over there and we'd sing karaoke in Spanish. And it was a lot of fun. But still going over there, having tamales, sitting down with the students, getting to know them. Our SBAD, Sacramento Black Art of Dance, it's as good as there is any place in the nation. People need to come and see the theater, see the dance. And then, of course, there's sports. I don't miss a game. I'm at every game that I can possibly be at. The women were phenomenal this year. We've got a new coach. The women are going to be phenomenal next year. I'm going to have to watch it on ESPN Plus, but I will be watching every game on ESPN Plus.
Well, Sac State President Robert Nelson, it has been a pleasure, and we wish you the best of luck. You don't need it, but we have to do one last pinky bon voyage with the Stingers up.
Okay, and we have to do one last plug for the Homeless World Cup.
Yes.
Okay, the Homeless World Cup is 8th through the 15th at the football fields. It is free.
In July.
It is free. Bring the families out. We'll have food trucks. We'll have everything. We're putting a new face on homelessness. It is going to be great. And why is it here? Because Sac State is number one. Stingers up.
And that is Sac State President Robert Nelson, who is retiring after 8 years with the Hornet family. J. Luke Wood is the incoming president and takes the post next month. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.